Welcome to the Hell Yes Life podcast, where you'll hear inspiring stories and life lessons from amazing Hell Yes entrepreneurs who are running their for-purpose businesses and living their Hell Yes lives. I'm your host, Norman Bell. Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Hell Yes Entrepreneur Podcast. I am your host, Norman Bell. I'm excited to be here, and I'm excited to have as my guest today, Calvin Wayman. Now, let me tell you a little something about Calvin. Calvin is a successful entrepreneur, a TEDx speaker, and the best-selling author of Fish Out of Water. He is the host of the podcast Curious with Calvin Wayman, and he stars in the YouTube show Making the Millionaire, where he is documenting his journey to earning his first $1 million. And we'll kind of maybe find out exactly where you're at in that process, Calvin. He has been featured in a variety of magazines, television and radio shows, and podcasts, including Entrepreneur Magazine, Entrepreneurs on Fire with John Lee Dumas, and The Dave Ramsey Show. Calvin, welcome to the Hell Yes Entrepreneur Podcast.
Brother, pumped to be here, Norman. Thanks for having me on.
All right. Thanks for being here, Calvin. Thanks for taking the time. And I always like to start off, we'll get into everything that you're up to right now, but I always like to start off by asking the question, what is your Hell Yes? What is that thing that really lights you up and makes you come alive? If you can put it in a few words.
Freedom's a big one. Being able to develop freedom. I come from a very strict background, and that's something that I mean, even though my upbringing and my family was very loving, it wasn't their fault per se, because it was just part of the culture and the system that we were in, but it was restrictive. And I have a very curious soul, and breaking that strictness and having freedom in all aspects, freedom to travel if you want to travel, freedom from a desk if you don't want to do a desk job, freedom to just lean into what it feels like you're called to do, leaning into the calling of your soul, that is Hell Yes for me.
I can really identify with that. I've had that freedom in my consciousness recently, and it's like this, freedom to do what I want, when I want, where I want.
Totally.
And everything that you just said as well. And again, no pressure if you can't think of the exact moment in your childhood when this happened on the playground when you were 7 years old or something. But do you have any recollection of a time when you realized that this was your Hell Yes, this theme of freedom?
I know where it came from. Mm-hmm. It came from, I think I was younger than seven. I was probably like 4 or 5, and I remember. I actually have not shared this on any podcast yet, I don't think. I don't even think I've shared on my own podcast. But this is something that I've just kind of, as I've done some deep soul searching and digging, like this is where I found like my drive for not just freedom, but giving people permission that they have freedom to pursue their own life and design it. It happened when I was like 4 or 5, and my mom, my birth mom, because I have 4 moms, growing up in polygamy, but my birth mom, I remember her sharing her dreams with me and things that she wanted to do. And it was something simple, like she was the one in charge of like schooling us children. And I was homeschooled all through high school, and it was because of my birth mom that made that possible. And she really cultivated this curiosity in me. But I remember her telling me these dreams and goals that she had. And number one, she told me, why did she tell me? Well, she felt like it was I was somebody that would be interested. But number two, what I realized even in that moment is she was telling me because it was a safe place, meaning I wasn't going to judge her for it. I wasn't going to shoot it down. Like I think that system and structure and environment would have done. And as a child, as me seeing this person who I loved so deeply telling me her dreams and visions, I just remember yearning and wanting it for her so bad, wishing she had the freedom to do that, and instilling in her that she could if she wanted to. And so that planted a seed in me that I just have such a drive in my own life to live a life of freedom, to do what I actually feel called to do, but also helping other people find that same freedom, because I'm of the belief that if people have true freedom, whether freedom from a job they hate, freedom from a relationship or an environment they're in, with that found freedom, they're more likely to pursue the impact and make the difference that they're meant to make by following the calling of their true gifts.
Wow. Wow. Love that. Love that. Thanks for telling that story. I can kind of picture you looking up at your birth mom and her telling this. And interesting that you said, I really wanted this for her, you know, like yeah. It wasn't just like, wow, that sounds great. I want that too. But I wanted that for her, you know?
So yeah, I was like, I remember yearning like, man, I want to make it happen and you can have it. Like, I believe in it. Like, it was a pretty big moment.
Yeah. Yeah. And it sounds like that's what you're doing out there in the world. So let's take us up to present day a little bit and give us the quote unquote 30,000 foot view of what you're up to now. Tell us about yourself.
I am an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. I quit my day job 3.5 years ago, mm-hmm. and I've just been on this journey of pursuing the life that I feel like I've always wanted to, because fear held me back for a really long time. And I think what's important for people to know, because I get this question a lot, like, how do you describe yourself? And that's such an interesting question. First of all, I'm just a regular dude. And what I mean by that is, I think it's important to start there, because I remember early in my journey at my day job, looking at people I admired, like the Gary Vaynerchuks, Lewis Howes, Tom Bilyeu, Mel Robbins, Oprah, Ellen, Jim Carrey. And I remember thinking, yeah, it'd be cool to have what they have and be like them, but that's them. And one day I remember the light bulb going off that I understood for the first time that they are regular human beings. Mm. And if they could do it, maybe that gives me permission that I can too. And so I think it's important to start there, because I don't want there to be any separation from people listening and myself. I'm just a regular dude. I was just as afraid and scared out of my mind in my day job to take the leap. But yeah, that's what I've been doing. I've just been on a freaking wild ride for the past 3.5-4 years since quitting my day job cold turkey, cutting off my sole source of income, even though I had a wife, a 1-year-old, debt, and left the bubble of everything that I knew, and just been going after it. So yeah, up to present day, I'm still in the grind, I'm closer than I've ever been, but I still have some ways to go to get to where it is that I want to be. But yeah, just in the grind every single day, taking steps to design the life that I want to create and make impact on people's life.
Awesome, Calvin. Yeah, and it's I appreciate you pointing that out, that you're a regular dude. You know, I mean, in some ways we all are, right? A regular men mm-hmm. and women. Even Oprah is a human being, right?
Yes.
which is people like that seem like superheroes. But I think that something that's interesting about talking to people like yourself, like on your story, you said it was in 2015 that this all kind of started for you.
Yep.
So why don't we back up to that time? I know there's a lot of people, well, myself included, I still have a day job. I'm, mm-hmm. You know, admittedly doing this on the side, building my dream yeah. business. And, and by the way, that's kind of one of the topics that comes up occasionally, is this sort of like, jump, leap in the net will appear sort of thing, which worked mm-hmm. for you. You know, I have talked it over with other guests. You know, some people have, you know, a more gradual route. So maybe we can talk mm-hmm. a little bit about that, but let's hear your story first. So take us to 2015 and where you were at the time and how you moved forward.
Well, I was in a day job, where I was doing phone sales and I was now a manager. A few years prior to that, I had joined this sales company because I read a book called Rich Dad, Poor Dad. Mm-hmm. And I had just barely started to associate with other people in the outside world, if you will, outside of my normal religion and circle, because I was homeschooled. And when I was out and about, I was usually just with my family or with my brothers or with my dad, because I worked in construction for a little bit. And I decided to go to college And that's where I first started to get these new ideas that kind of shattered my paradigm of where I grew up. But in those new ideas, I heard this book come up over and over called Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And in that book, he said, if you're going to make a difference in people's life, if you're going to live a life of freedom, in some way or another, he said, you need to learn how to communicate and lead. And to do that, you need to know how to sell. So I joined the sales company and I thought I was going to be a natural. I thought I was going to be so good at it. But truth be told, I fell flat on my face. Mm-hmm. I was horrible. I actually still hold the record at that company for the worst performance that a sales agent ever had, was almost fired, and had a really good mentor that gave me an ultimatum that ended up being a really awesome one that said, first of all, you're costing the company money every single time you answer the phone, so this can't continue. But if you promise to do everything I tell you to do, then I'll keep you and I'll make you my experiment. He did that. And through sales and in the environment that I was in, getting to listen to every single phone call that I took, getting to listen to the phone calls of successful people doing what he said, I learned the skill of selling and I became number one in that company. Hmm. That was in, I would say, what was that, 2010 and 11-ish when I started that. So now, 2015, I had been there for a while. I'd gone through the ranks and I was now a manager, helping open up an office in a different location. But here's the truth. The truth is, I had wanted to jump way before I did. I wanted to jump like probably in 2012, like seriously. Because I had already in 2010 and 11 gotten the skill. It was working. And in 2012, I was thinking of leaving. I ended up getting married and then getting promoted and then like figuring stuff out that way. And at the end of every year, what do? It's a time to reflect and like see where things have been. And at the end of 2013, or even at 2012, I was like, yeah, I'm not really where I want to be. And then it's the end of 2013 and I'm looking back, I'm like, good gosh, I am not that much further ahead. I need to jump. I needed to go do something. Then 2014 comes and still same thing. So the pressure's building.
Yeah.
And then people ask all the time, well, how did you finally get yourself to jump? And I tried the gradual thing, by the way.
Yeah.
I tried the side hustle. Everybody, you need to, Gary Vaynerchuk talks about self-awareness all the time. And I think that's important because some people, if you do jump, maybe it would cripple you and you'd end up not going farther.
Yeah.
I had fear and everything. So I tried the gradual approach. I tried to do the side hustle, but nothing ever came bigger. I need to be focused on the one thing that I'm focused on to build it. Otherwise it doesn't work. Mm-hmm. And when it came to 2015, it just came to, am I ever going to do it or am I not? And I had this moment where I projected myself 10 years into the future and essentially had a conversation with my 10-year older self. And in that conversation, I was asked like, should I do it? Should I not? And my 10-year older self, I now have a child. And he's like, as you get older, brother, as we get older, we're going to have more responsibility, not less. So if you're ever going to do it, why not now? And that's what I figured. I was like, I could be spinning my wheels for 10 years.
Yeah.
Or what if I just jumped and struggled for 10 years? Chances are, even if I fell flat on my face, I'm going to learn some stuff, then I'm going to be in a much better position 10 years from now. But then I also had this really scary thought of regret that what if I woke up in 10 years and nothing had changed and I just wasted 10 years? Or worse, what if I woke up in the fire that I have to develop freedom for myself and for others and for making a difference? What if that fire died? Mm-hmm. What if it died because I didn't jump? Yeah. And that was enough. That was enough to swallow. That was enough of a fear of that happening to swallow the smaller fears of what if I fail? What if I mess up? What if my wife and my 1-year-old and myself end up on the streets? All of those uncomfortable thoughts, all of those fears of failure were now minuscule compared to the fear of regret if I did nothing. Mm-hmm. And so that's when I said, you know what? pardon my language, if you don't usually use this, you'll have to blank it out. I just said, fuck it. I'm going to quit. So I did. That's the long and short of 2015.
So I always like to drill down with people. So then, please. So take us to that time period, you know, the week you did this and then the final day. And then right after that. So did you have like an exit? Okay. So I'm going to save up this much before I do this. Or was it really like, you know, screw it. I've got to do this right now. I'm going in, I quit. Yep. Oh no. What am I going to do? It was more like that.
Yeah. It was more like that. Yep. I had debt. I had no real cushion. In fact, I went to my bosses and essentially just like the big decision was just admitting that this business was not in my future. And they're like, they were very supportive. I'm like, yeah, that's awesome. We know that you're more entrepreneurial anyway. Like, hey, let's finish out the pay period, which was like a week and a half. And so I was like, whoa, this is actually happening. And the day I quit, it felt amazing.
Yeah.
I knew that that was the right decision. And I had never felt more at peace in my life. Mm-hmm. Then the next day happened. And I was freaked out of my mind.
Yeah.
What the F am I going to do? I have all these bills. I have rent to pay. I have bills to pay. I have student loans. I have car loan. I have a business loan. All these things. What am I going to do? And it freaked me out. But in that freak out, I gave myself one ultimatum, one deal with myself that to this day, I want to go to my younger self and give him a kiss on the cheek or a high five and a hug and saying, you are a ballsy little dude. I'm so glad that you did that. Because the deal I made with myself is whatever I got into, it would be because it felt right, not based out of fear. Meaning, one of the things is I was pretty big into the network marketing space. And I still love network marketing. I think it's a great transition ground for people that are going from employee to entrepreneur. You're going to learn sales, how to handle rejection, building a team and all that. And about a month and a half before I quit, the network marketing company that I was with went out of business. So that income went to zero. But I was talking to several other people, other leaders in the network marketing space, and I wanted to see if that was going to be the thing I did. And there was a lot of good opportunities with a lot of amazing leaders. I was even given opportunity to join some of them with a signing bonus. Like, it made a lot of practical sense. But it would have only been 99% good, not 100%. Mm-hmm. Meaning I made the commitment that I wouldn't do it based out of fear. And it didn't look like fear on the surface. On the surface, it looked like amazing compensation plan. You can grow with this. And I was like, yes, but if I dig deep, it's fear that I'm going to miss out on this opportunity. Mm-hmm. It's fear of what if nothing good like this comes around again? And I'm like, would I be doing this? If somebody handed me $1 million and I was good, would I still be passionate about this product? Would I still be going down this path? And if I was being honest with myself, the answer was no. Mm-hmm. So I was like, no, I'm not going to do this. And so I went from that to ended up saying, what is true to me is I want to develop like really hardcore skills and get around other people that are thinking bigger and things like that. So what I ultimately decided to do from that point is move to Southern California, just put my wife, my one-year-old, and myself in a U-Haul, packed our stuff up, and I went to do door-to-door sales because I figured I had done phone sales, and if I could handle face-to-face rejection, whatever my passion was, that would give me the skill set to be able to break through it. So that was the first thing, and that's also living in Southern California doing door-to-door sales is also where I built my first business around social media and stuff like that.
Whoa, okay. Door-to-door sales, interesting. So that was the next step for you, and that is a
scariest thing I've
ever done. Sounds like a harrowing journey. I don't know if you know Les Brown, the motivational speaker, but he talks
definitely
doing door-to-door sales and having some challenging times.
That whole period was wild. The whole period of quitting, the period of I had never done anything like where I'm listening to my intuition and things to do. And it was very stressful. I don't even know how to explain it, except that I would never wish what I went through on my worst enemy or the worst person that's ever lived. Like, for how dark it felt, I don't think the worst criminal deserves to feel how I felt. Like, it was that bad. I remember some nights waking up, well, my wife was waking me up because I was soaking her with my sweat.
Yeah.
Like, that's how bad it was. Maybe getting 2 hours of sleep, was trying to sleep, but wouldn't, my body wouldn't go to sleep because my brain wouldn't shut off because I was in such flight mode, fight or flight mode. And it was wild. But I had to figure it out. And I think that's probably why I am so grateful that I jumped and I didn't have a way to turn back. And I wasn't doing it on the side because there was some shit to break through. And if I could have turned back and run, I probably would have, quite frankly. But because I had to figure it out, because I had signed my name on a 1-year lease that was 3 times the amount that I was used to paying, it made me like just keep on going forward and keep on grinding.
Yeah. And there is that, I just want to validate all paths to your hell yes life. Right. So like, this is definitely, I've heard, many stories like this where it's like that quote, commit and providence.
I say, quote, commit first, figure out second.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
My wife and I are doing that right now. And in fact, this has been this has worked so well and equally scared the hell out of me. But it makes me want to say, where else can I use this? Like, for example, my wife and I have been living where we're living now for about 2.5 years, but it's really cold. And we've been thinking, well, if it works out, we could live somewhere else. It'll be more expensive, but we've kind of dabbled with it until 2 days ago. We literally just decided. We literally just committed and said, we are moving to Phoenix. Where are we going to live in Phoenix? We don't know. That's not important. I don't think it's not. Yeah. Like, just like it was not important to what I was going to do after my day job. This is all I knew.
Yeah.
I wanted to be an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. I wanted to live my, like, a full, like, a life of total freedom. Mm-hmm. And so what was my next step? If I wanted to be an entrepreneur and I was an employee, what did that mean? Quit. Like, that was the next step. And then I committed and that opened up other things.
Yeah.
And it's actually been wild because my wife and I decided 2 days ago, we are moving to Phoenix March 1st.
Oh, that's coming right up. Wow.
As of this recording, it's about 3 weeks away.
Yeah.
And yeah, we didn't know. When we made the commitment 2 days ago, we didn't know how. And quite frankly, we don't know all the steps yet. But things are now unfolding in ways that we couldn't have predicted or would have planned if we were just dabbling. Yeah. But because we're doing it now the creative juices are really flowing. We realized, holy cow, not only are we moving, but we're going to get rid of everything and we're only going to live on what we can fit in our car. And we're either going to get rid of, sell, or put in storage everything else in our entire house. And all that stuff wouldn't have happened if we have not committed.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. I want to kind of keep exploring this because that has been the case actually for a lot of things in my life as well. The name of this show, the Hell Yes, it used to be the Hell Yes Life podcast, the Hell Yes Entrepreneur podcast, that Hell Yes piece. I ran for a student council position in high school and I'd never done anything like that before, but I just signed my name on the dotted line to run for this position. I had no idea how I was going to do it, but there's the same sort of thing. You just sign up and then, what you need will come when it's time to do what you need to do. And say, I moved to Barcelona, Spain to teach English there, didn't speak Spanish, didn't have a job, but I got on the plane. So it, for me, it's helpful to have something like that. That's like a deadline. So I don't know if that's the case with you, like just, either creating totally. Through accountability or getting the word out to people like, hey, I'm going to do this by this date. Yeah.
No, it's so powerful. Have you ever read Shoe Dog?
No.
I'm reading it right now. It's an autobiography by Philip Knight, I think his name is. Let me just double check.
Oh, Nike.
Yeah, Phil Knight. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Nike founder. Mm-hmm. And I'm barely in it, like just a few chapters in. And it is amazing. And what's really fun for me is seeing how that's a recurring theme in his journey. When he goes to Japan to start a shoe company and he was basically committing before anything was even there. Like, and in some ways they're kind of funny because he said, I want to sell exclusive rights to the West Coast of these shoes of this Japanese company. And they're like, okay, what's the name of your company again? And in that moment, he forgot to even think of a company name. It was like, oh, a Blue Ribbon or whatever. And so he made up the name on the spot, committed to it.
Yeah.
And before he even could. And then when he went back to ask for exclusive rights for the whole United States, they were like, but what about, you need to have a place on, like, we don't have anybody on the East Coast. Or that's why we're using this other person because they're on the East Coast. And like, oh, we can do it on the East Coast. Like, they're like, oh, do you have an office on the East Coast? And it was like, yes. And like, oh, well, that changes things. Yeah. And then they not only gave him a 3-year exclusive contract for the whole US, but he signed his name in like 1966, 67, $20,000 worth of shoes, that money he did not have.
Mm-hmm.
But he committed first.
Mm-hmm.
And it's wild. Like, this has shown up over and over in things that I've done. I used to be 50 pounds heavier than I am now.
Mm-hmm.
And part of it was doing things like, I'm not going to get a haircut until I quit or until I finish losing my weight. Or signing up for a 50-mile ultramarathon, which is 2 marathons in a row, before I had ever started training and had never even run a marathon before.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm doing it right now. I'm not shaving my beard until I make my first $1 million. Or, just things like that. I'm going to sign up for a men's physique competition. I'm not in physical shape for that, but if I do it, chances are I'll make it happen.
Yeah. I love it. Love it. So let's actually take us back to, you're doing door-to-door sales. And now that we've just talked about this whole, kind of committing and then, you know, taking the action to bring, manifest that, take us forward from there, cause you've been doing a lot of interesting stuff. So what happened next after the door-to-door sales
So I went through the exact same pattern. It's really interesting. So I knew that I didn't want to do it forever. And I knew that since I went through some tough shit to do the door-to-door thing, like I used to have a phobia of dogs, and like just seeing dogs every single day was so horrifying. And then ultimately broke that and everything. And I knew that I still wanted, now I wanted to do a business that had my name on it. And so I set the date, July 1st, 2016. And I was like, that's the day that I'm going to be 100% in my own businesses for the rest of my life, period. If that means that I have to beg or borrow something or end up on the streets, then I'm going to do that, because I know that if I make that commitment and I have to figure it out, then I will, or I'll die, in which case I won't care. But I'm going to take on this attitude that I've seen Will Smith have in interviews, and it didn't make sense to me until I was in the journey and on the court and in the arena. He has this interview where he says, he developed this mentality that if you get on the treadmill with him, there's only two things that are going to happen. Either you're getting off first or I'm going to die. That simple. And that's kind of what I started to develop. And I wish I could say that I'm there all the time, because I still do deal with fear and depression and anxiety with all of the uncertainties in life. But in those moments, that's what I came to. As scary as it sounded, I'm like, July 1st, it's happening. And that was a pretty big deal, because around that time, I started writing my book in May, the middle of May 2016. And I had one social media client who canceled and was like ending at the end of June. And so I was cutting off again my sole source of income with solar. Interestingly, I had been knocking doors for 2 or 3 months and no deals were closing. So it was almost that I almost took that as a sign of like the last 2 or 3 months, I had done my best job ever. Like, I was getting the most deals in the hopper, but the closer was actually closing zero of them. And so I was like, maybe I should have gone even sooner. So it was a really interesting moment, because I was like, I'm having no income. Should I really be committing to actually jumping? But I did. So July 1st, 2016, I went completely out of the door-to-door thing. That was the day my book came out. I announced it on social media. And from July 1st since, yeah, to have just been 100% my own thing.
Okay. So this, you know, I'll bet there's a lot of people out there that are like you, that are like me, that were, you know, I'm a little earlier in the journey than you are. And people are probably even further back than me that want this kind of a thing though. Like what you've made that leap, over the chasm of fear, and there you are on the other side. You know, you're not too far down the road that we can't relate to you anymore, but you're just there on the other side. And
yeah, I'm a half a step, if that, ahead.
Right. And you're a speaker though, and you're hanging out with, I've seen this John Lee Dumas, and we'll maybe talk about Richard Dreyfuss in a second, but what was the thing? Was it the book? Like, what was the thing that kind of propelled you forward there?
There hasn't been yet. So there hasn't been a single thing. There's been a lot of things.
Yeah.
And that Richard Dreyfuss thing, it's funny you mentioned that up. You bring that up because right after I get off stage and have this guy come up to me and say, I would like you to come to lunch with me.
Oh my God.
And okay, let's talk about that. Yeah. So I get off stage and there's a line of people that are coming to say, congratulations. Thank you so much for your talk and stuff like that. But one of the first people in line was this short little white dude, and he comes up and says, I have some stories we need to talk, and especially your story, like how you've dealt with uncertainty. I have some stories of uncertainty, so I would really appreciate it if you came to lunch with me. I know you need to talk to these people first, but after you're done talking to them, let's go grab a bite to eat. Oh, by the way, my name's Richard Dreyfuss.
So you didn't recognize him until he said that?
So I knew I did, because I knew that he was going to be there. In fact, I didn't, when I was just up there on stage, I just saw some people in the crowd and I saw this guy nodding his head and I was like, is that Richard Dreyfuss nodding his head? and so Richard Dreyfuss, yeah. Like if you go to his Wikipedia page, you have to scroll down to see all the movies he's been in. He's been in many movies, but he's been in Jaws. He's an Academy Award winning actor. We hung out for like 2 or 3 hours, and there's a point that I have at the end of that post, because after all that, I was like, how has this happened? How has anything in my life happened? Showing the fuck up every single day. And honestly, when you don't feel like it, and honestly, I don't feel like it all the time. A day like today, in fact, the last couple of days, it's been a little tough. I've put stuff on my calendar and I fall off and I say, this is something I want to do, and I haven't been able to do it yet. You know, so I have some of those things, like there's podcast captions that I need to write for upcoming episodes. There's a video that I'm trying to create on Facebook, and it's been a kind of a pain to get that. I have a list of people I need to follow up with. So there's this overwhelm that still happens, but all of these things that you're seeing, whether it's the hanging out with some celebrities now, and some of them becoming my friends, has just been showing up. So me being consistent, but I also physically show up. A few weeks ago, in fact, the 2 days before meeting Richard Dreyfuss, I was in Los Angeles for the first ever iHeartRadio podcast awards. And I did not get an invite to that podcast awards. In fact, I tried to. I was trying to reach somebody at iHeartRadio, and they were busy at CES in Las Vegas. So what did I do? I physically, literally just showed up. I got a suit on and I was like, what's the worst that can happen? I get turned away, right? Which is like, that's one thing that I've learned about rejection and getting a no. Like if you understand this, if you get a no, like you're literally no worse off. Just don't attach yourself to the result. Like you're not a bad person. Like it's freaking awesome that you asked. It's awesome that you showed up. That's the win. Like doing that's the win, not whether you get it or not. And so I've developed this habit of, if I'm taking the action that's in my control, that is success. Not the result, not all this stuff that people see now. It's the action. And if I do that enough times, I'm being successful day by day, moment by moment, and I don't have to wait for something to show up. I can be successful today. If I can just get myself to, even though I'm falling behind on some of these stuff on my calendar, if I take the action that something's in my control, that is winning. And so I was like, well, the worst they can do is turn me away, which is nothing. Showing up is the win. So I showed up, and it was weird because just the day before I was listening to Mike Tyson on the Joe Rogan Experience, and there's Mike Tyson right there. I'm like, whoa, that's kind of cool.
Oh, so, he was there?
Yeah, Mike Tyson was there. Like And I was standing like from here to my computer almost to him. And then seeing Dax Shepard, seeing what's his name from Saved by the Bell, the best looking dude. What the hell's his name? Why am I spacing it? Do you know him? Do you know Saved by the Bell?
You know, that was one maybe 5 years off of me, 5 or 10 years off. But I know, yeah, Saved by the Bell, yeah.
I just got to get his name because it's going to bother me otherwise. Yeah, Mario Lopez. And several other people. So it's this is all to just go to your question of how, like, what's been the pop. I have not gotten my pop yet, and I can't wait until it happens because in the day by day, honestly, it feels like there's not a lot that happens.
Yeah.
And yes, I've been in Entrepreneur Magazine. I have the book. I've keynoted events in front of 2,200 people and stuff like that. But it's been 3.5 years. And even that doesn't sound like a lot. And a better thing to say is it's been actually close to 4 years, which is 1,460 days.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's a lot of day. I could say, if I said day every second for 1,460 seconds, that would feel like a long time, let alone the whole day. So it's just being in it. It's doing 100 plus of these, you know, it's day by day. And then finally it's starting to pop, or at least get a little bit of momentum. So it hasn't been a single event quite yet.
Yeah.
It's been a lot of little teeny things, going to events, getting around the right kind of people. And that's been how I've experienced some of the success that I have so far.
I just wrote down showing up is the win. I think I want to take that. I like that approach. It's not the result, you know, and
it literally isn't, dude. Yeah. Like if you get that, success is not the result. Mm-hmm. In fact, the very best people get this. There's a really cool interview with Kobe Bryant. I think I think it's on Lewis Howes' podcast, School of Greatness. And that was his mentality and how you can learn so much from the loss. But the best coach ever, who's written books on leadership, he's the coach who won the most titles and stuff for UCLA or something. And he talks about this too, that success is doing your personal best. Like that is it. It was never winning the game. It was doing your personal best.
Yeah.
And only you can judge that. And if you're doing the thing, here's the thing, the result, the goal, like it now just comes as a byproduct of that. It's not longer, no longer the center target. Your target is, and this has helped me lose my 50 pounds and everything. Like it's that, like instead of saying, oh, this is my number on the scale, I shifted my focus. I put that goal set aside and said, my goal is to exercise this many times this week.
Okay.
Or my goal is to have this many days in a row. And I don't know if you can see, but on my, I have like calendars right here. And back there are X's on those days of things that I'm cultivating. And that literally becomes the win. And now I'm no longer confused over the results that I have, because I know that if I get a certain number of days in a row that I work out, or a certain number of days of eating right, then when I step on the scale, it happened automatically as a byproduct. And if you make success the thing inside of your control, like showing up over and over, you'll just keep showing up. And then the result, whether it's building up your brand, being recognized, making money, those things come automatically as a byproduct. So I'm passionate about it.
Love it. Yeah. I think that, hell yes, lifers, hell yes, entrepreneurs out there. I think we get what Calvin's talking about here, right? We focus on the actions, the things we can control, and we let go of results, but the results will come, of their own, right?
Yes.
Well, Calvin, I want to be mindful of your time. I feel like we're just kind of getting started in some ways, but
you're firing me up, man.
Yeah. Like you've got a bit of a hard stop coming up here, don't you?
I'm pretty good for at least 15 more minutes.
Okay. Maybe we'll do another 10 or so here. So, okay. Well, that's, you know, again, we could just keep talking about this, just this theme, just marinating in this. I love this, but, tell me a little bit about a couple of the things. So I'm one of my key things is I want to, be a speaker. I'm just going to tout myself here for a second. I'm an award-winning speaker and Toastmasters, but I haven't made that leap to the next level that it sounds like you're at, where you're, did you say you're keynote speaking? You're a paid public speaker, getting booked and so forth. And so maybe just for maybe somewhat selfish purposes here, but I'll bet there's a lot of people out there that are interested.
I love this. So Toastmasters is where I started. Question. Yeah. Have you finished like your first 10 or whatever, the Competent Communicator Manual?
Yeah, I have. But I haven't gone. Yeah. Then my next step would be the next, whatever the next, specialty. I forget that they call them, but
you don't need any more than that.
Okay.
My question for you is, do you have any video footage of you giving your talks?
I do. I have, you know, it's not a, yeah, I do. I do have one. It's not my talk, you know, exactly. Like I haven't really nailed my topic. I feel like that's my, weakness.
What do you think you would talk on as the thing that you want to be known as talking on?
Yeah, I mean, okay, thanks. So you're going to give me a little 5-minute coaching here. So yeah, I am
you sharing the same stage, brother.
Yeah, there we go. So I basically have these, I think my curse is a little bit, I'm the multi-potentialite that can't quite say I'm the blank guy. Yeah. But if I was going to choose, I would probably say some of the stuff that we've been talking about here, right? So I'm,
you know. So if you're multi-potential, give me a list of 3 to 5.
Okay. So, well, speaking is the big one, but I don't really want to speak about speaking. I don't think, right. You know, storytelling, I've kind of gone down that road. I've done some storytelling, workshops.
And how to be a good storyteller.
How to be a good story. Yeah. To uncover your core stories and then, and communicate those with others. I mean, people that's
okay. Okay, what else?
Okay, thanks. So then this stuff, which is about kind of finding your passion and purpose, you know, starting or growing your purpose-driven business. That's ostensibly the audience for this show.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so storytelling, maybe speaking not so much, but finding your passion.
Finding your passion, but then everything that kind of goes with what we've been talking about, it could be from taking the leap to you know, productivity stuff, like how do you from, you know, what's your, I call it your hell yes day, you know, find your hell yes, create your cringeworthy vision, as I've called it, you know, create your hell yes day, etc.
Okay. If you had to pick between storytelling and finding your passion as topics.
Yeah.
And finding your passion can incorporate some of those things that you mentioned, like taking the leap or finding your cringeworthy vision.
Yeah.
As you called it. Which one do you pick?
I would choose finding your passion. Yeah.
Sweet. So we're crossing out storytelling.
I guess we are.
Yes. So it's crossed off.
Okay.
Okay. Out of finding your passion, if you had to find one thing, like how to take the leap or finding your cringeworthy vision.
Oh.
Let me ask it a different way. Which of those darlings do you want to kill?
Right. The vision or taking the leap?
Which one dies?
Now you got me. So I mean, what we've just been talking about, I even, you know, as I was writing my book, I was calling it the kind of the hell yes formula, which is similar to what you're talking about, is taking the leap and then, you know, things start to manifest. And that has happened to me. I feel like, I don't know, I might not be doing that right now. So can I speak about that? I'm not sure. So there's always that little doubt question.
Sure.
Let's go with that one though.
Taking the leap?
Taking the leap.
So you are killing finding your cringeworthy vision.
What do you think? Yeah. Yes.
Okay. So I like that. So here, I'll give some other things on here. Leaps. So taking the leap is what you want to discuss. Question. Yeah. You've said a few times how there are things that you want to do that you haven't quite done yet. And that's actually even caused some doubt, wondering if you can even speak on and all that stuff.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Do you think there are other people that might feel like you?
Absolutely. Yeah. I know. Yeah. As a matter of fact. Yeah.
If it were me, I would frame that a little bit differently to something that's a little bit more real. You're in speaking, you're not trying to be impressive. You're just trying to be real. You're trying to be authentic of what is true.
Yeah.
So you could do something like handling fear of leaping or the doubt that comes from wanting to leap and stuff like that. Like something that is almost like the negative, because quite frankly, you're dealing with it.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So That's what I would do. So first of all, I would narrow down on that. And here's something I want to say as a big lesson that's going to get you landed on your first stages.
Okay.
In speaking, multi-purpose, multi-potential, multi-passions is the kiss of death.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We're taught to think outside the box, be outside the box. In speaking, to get booked, the very best thing you want to do is put yourself into a box. What I mean is when you're looking for people, when people are looking to book you, you need to have something so specific that when somebody says they're like one of the biggest mistakes that new speakers make that I was making, because I wanted to speak way earlier than I started to, was, oh, but I can speak on this. I can speak on fear. I can speak on adversity. I can speak on leaving this. I can speak on social media. Death. You need to find something that is so tangible and so specific that that is what you're known by. Mm-hmm. And I was known, I made myself known in my first speaking gigs, actually in social media, because that was a tangible thing. And I ended up creating a talk called The 4 C's to Social Media Success. Mm-hmm. And since that was my thing that I decided, I ended up recording myself, having somebody record me at a Toastmasters, give a talk that was not even based on the book, quite frankly. I kind of made it based on, because you know how Toastmasters gives you like a theme of what you should be talking about for that particular talk. I honestly wrote the talk down first, at least the idea of the talk, and then kind of let it fit the theme. So what I would do if I were you is I would definitely focus on the taking the leap, but make it real and come up with a title that is the struggle that you're dealing with. Uh-huh. Because you don't want to just come across as being a preacher of this is what you do to take the leap, especially if you haven't fucking done it in a lot of ways. Right. Like you just want to be real, because now you're going to resonate with people.
Yeah.
And so then this is what you do, brother. Whatever that talk is, get a video person in there having you record it.
Yeah.
And then that is going to be your promotional material that makes you known. You're going to post that on your social media. You're going to post that send it to your email list if you have it. You're going to show it. You're going to have like a 6 to 10 minute video that shows the whole talk, but you can also use that as B-roll for something else. And whenever people say, so what do you do? You're going to say, well, I'm doing that. You're going to focus on the number one thing that you want to do that's pulled toward your vision. Well, I'm a podcaster and I also speak on taking the leap, even though you're struggling or something like that. Mm-hmm. And so you make that known and like, oh, really? And you have video that you now could show it. You could create a 1-page document that shows your name and what the talk title is and the takeaways that people get and all that. Anyway, getting that specific, recording yourself so it shows that you are on stage, because that's the big thing that getting your first gigs, people always worry about is like the person is like, well, can you show me your speaker reel? And you're like, I don't have a speaker reel. In fact, that's why I need you to say yes for me to speak at your event so that I can get recording and be a speaker reel. So you have this chicken and the egg
catch
problem.
22. Yeah.
Yeah. So if you can get some footage of you speaking on your thing, then that's going to be the thing that breaks you in. You need to get, your goal should be to get your first event outside of the Toastmasters bubble.
Yeah,
I have way too many friends that think that is the, it's like college. It can be a good thing and it can be practice, but it's not the real thing.
Yeah.
And there's so many people that I was in there with Toastmasters, people that have been there between 7 and 30 years and they'd gone through awards and stuff like that and cool. But I wanted to be on real stages getting real money.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and it will start with free. And that's great because that can also be more footage that can add to your B-roll. You know what B-roll is when I say B-roll?
Yeah, like the kind of background. Or no, I mean.
Exactly. Yeah, background. Yeah, it's like all the, like, so oh. in when I got B-roll, I had like three events that I spoke at. And then I just took a message from one of my talks and put it in the background while it's showing me speaking at different events. And all of a sudden, there's this image of me speaking. Right. And so people see that like, oh, Calvin Wayman speaks.
Speaking, yeah.
Exactly. And that, and when you have that, you also have an asset that you can share with somebody if anybody's looking to hire you. Yeah. So my friend, that's what I do to take your Toastmasters thing to the next level.
That's awesome, Calvin. I think that was a ton of value you provided to me and our listeners here. I imagine there's a lot of people out there that are, you know, kind of right at the cusp of that. Like, how do I take that step? You know, I've done some speaking, but I want to start doing some paid speaking. So I think the thing for me, I do have like a cut together footage, but it's not speaking on the thing, right? So you need
so you can use that footage that you have as B-roll, maybe.
As B-roll. Got it.
And
got
then get some more footage of you with you mic'd up.
Yeah.
Giving your talk on your thing.
Yeah. Got it. Oh, and just to assuage the multi-potentialite in me, I'm just like, when you say you have to pick, you put yourself in a box, you can tell that part of yourself like, hey, you still get to explore all these things, but for right now, we're going to focus on this one thing.
So yeah. If you want to get into speaking, that's just what I do. Because here's the truth. I do not speak on one thing.
Yeah.
Like, and what's cool is once you're booked,
yeah,
and you're on that stage,
yeah,
speak about something else. Like I would, there were events that I spoke, I was hired to speak on social media, and I ended up giving 80% of the talk this story because I knew I was speaking to a room of entrepreneurs and people that want to be entrepreneurs. So I just made it real about how I dealt with fear and how I dealt with depression and anxiety and like taking steps. And then the last one, oh, by the way, if you're looking to do something on social media, here you go. And right. That ended up being more valuable to people. So as soon as you're in, I'm just trying to get you in the door. You are not specific enough, you're not referable. And absolutely, you need to be referable if you want to get in the door.
That's great, Calvin. Well, I'm going to start to wind things down here because I want to be mindful of your time. I feel like we could probably go another hour, but and just to mention a few of the things that you've got going on out there, as we mentioned at the top of the show, you've got your book, Fish Out of Water, which I imagine we've covered some of the terrain here without maybe specifically referencing it.
Yeah, we did actually. Yeah. Some of the fear stuff, just jumping in. Yeah, yeah, I have a chapter dedicated on just jumping. So yeah.
Great. And so if people want to find out more about you, connect with you, where's the best place for them to go?
Two places. They can go to calvinwayman.com. I also hang out a ton on Instagram. So if you listened to this, just go to Instagram and say hi, and would love to say hi back if you're catching this. So if you're on Instagram, yeah, just say hi, came from Hell Yes. And yeah, would love to say hi back.
Awesome, Calvin. So I always like to wrap things up by saying hell yes on the count of three with my guests. So this would be kind of like a hell yes sort of thing. Are you willing to do that?
100%.
Okay, yes. Here we go. 1, 2, 3.
Hell yes.
Oh, yeah. Good one, Calvin. All right. Well, hey, thanks so much for joining me.
Yeah, brother. This was awesome. Thank you so much. And hopefully this helps someone.
Hell yes. Thanks for joining me for this episode of the Hell Yes Life podcast. You can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, or your favorite RSS feed. If you like the show, please leave a rating and review. And if you want to stay connected, visit hellyeslife.com and sign up for the e-newsletter and private Facebook group. Again, I'm Norman Bell. Thanks for joining me. Now let's get out there and live a Hell Yes Life.